نستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. رحمك الله. أما بعد، then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله with the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan حفظه الله. Now last week we had the completion of point number 25, which began on page 208 with regard to our stance, the stance of the people of the Sunnah with regard to the Sahaba, the companions رضي الله عنهم, companions of Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. So just to mention some of the points that we had from the explanation of Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan حفظه الله, and amongst them was the fact that sohbah, companionship, varies in level. So there were some who were companions for a long period of time. They accompanied Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a long period of time. And there were others who were his companions for a short period of time. But in either case, they all had the virtue of sohbah, companionship. Being a companion of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that virtue that cannot be reached by anyone after them. So they're right upon us. They're right upon us is that we supplicate for mercy for them. And we supplicate for Allah's pleasure upon them. And that we take them as an example to follow. And that we praise them and speak well of them. And that we withhold our tongues and we do not enter into the wars and tribulations that occurred between them. For indeed, anything that's occurred between them, as Sheikh Fawzan said, then it was the case that each one of them was acting upon ijtihad, his personal striving to do what was correct, to reach the truth. So one who was correct in that matter, then he receives two rewards. And one who made a mistake, then he still gets one reward. And any mistake that he made, then it was drowned out by his good deeds, his many and huge good deeds that would drown it out altogether. So we do not mention the companions except with good. And that's in accordance with the ayah from Surah Al-Hashr with regard to the description of the believers, those who come after them, what they say about them. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. They say, O our Lord, forgive us and forgive those who preceded us upon Iman. That's what other believers say. They make dua to Allah for their brothers who came before them upon Iman, first and foremost the companions رضي الله عنهم. So we do not speak a single word against them, just as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, do not abuse my companions. لا تسبوا أصحابي. Do not abuse my companions, for by him in whose hand is my soul, if one of you were to spend the like of Mount Uhud in gold, then it would not reach the hands full of one of them, or even a half of it. Hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim. So then Sheikh drew attention to the sad situation in these days, that you find people who come and totally contradict this and speak against companions. And they bring the phony excuse of historical verification. We need to speak about what occurred between them for much of historical verification. So as the Sheikh said, what is correct is to withhold. Withhold from these things. We don't speak about this war happened and why, and what happened between this companion and that companion. We don't speak about these things. Just as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, when my companions are mentioned, then withhold. إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. Then when my companions are mentioned, then withhold. Hadith that is sahih, authentic, reported by Tabarani. Also, with regard to some things that occurred between, or with regard to reports about historical events that happened to companions and historical stances and things that were said and done, then Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah makes a very important point. That these reports, which some people very often quote and use and twist and add to and magnify, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, with regard to these reports, there are two kinds. Firstly, those which are not authentic. And these things are just untrue lies, falsely attributed to the companions with ulterior motives, reports made up which have no reality. And secondly, those reports which are authentic, then in those cases where a companion said something or did something in a situation, then again we say that each companion was acting upon ijtihad, his personal striving to do what was correct to attain the truth. If he was actually correct, then he gets two rewards. If he was incorrect, he made a mistake, then he gets still the one reward. And again, any mistake was drowned out by his huge virtues. As is indicated by the narration with regard to the noble companion, Hatib ibn Abi Balta'ah. The narration about Umar radiallahu anhu speaking, without going back into the story, that he sent a message to the people of Makkah before the conquest to warn his family. Because he was afraid for his family who were there, they'll be killed. So he sent a message meaning that the Muslims are going to come and attack. So when he was found out, then Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to strike his neck. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prevented him and said, You do not know, O Umar, perhaps Allah looked to the people of Badr and said, do whatever you wish, for I have forgiven you. And this companion, Hatib ibn Abi Balta, was from those companions who fought at the Battle of Badr. Perhaps Allah looked upon the people of Badr and said, do whatever you wish, for I have forgiven you. Hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Then also we had the saying brought by the author, the Imam al-Barbahari, from Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, one of the two great Imams called Sufyan at that time, Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He said, whoever speaks against the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a single word, then he is a person of desires. Sheikh Fawzan said, so how about a person who writes whole books against them? Entire books speaking against companions. But rather, what is upon us is that we have love, respect for them, show them honour, recognise their status, and take them as an example to follow. For they are indeed the best of the generations. They are the ones who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believed in him, aided him, fought for this deen, carried it, conveyed it faithfully, and they are the ones whom Allah chose to be companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody else, he chose them to be the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as for one who speaks against them, or against a single one of them, then it is just for that reason. It is nothing personal. Those who speak against them in later times, it's not because they have any personal disagreement with them. They don't even know them. Rather, it is just because of the fact that they correctly conveyed the true deen. They have some hatred in their hearts for that. And a follower of desires. No doubt he has ghil, as indicated in the ayah that I quoted. He must have ghil, some sort of rancor, ill feeling in his heart towards the companions that leads him to speak against them. And as the Sheikh said, and those who speak against the companions, you'll find them being the worst of the people. So, their speaking against the companions will not harm the companions. Their position, their status, their reward is fixed. If they have their remuneration, they have their reward, they have their status, that's not going to budge. So all that we fear for is the youth. People picking up the books of these people who speak against them, reading it and being fooled by these books. So that's where the fear is. The fear is for people being taken in by these people, these evildoers. And the Sheikh made the point as well that any attack upon the companions is actually, and it amounts to, an attack upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who seek to malign the companions and portray them as being the worst of people, then they were the people who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accompanied and lived with and took as his close companions. So it's actually an indirect attack upon him. So as for the people of the truth, then they honour and they respect the companions. And there's even an indication of the companion, or mention of the companions, appearing in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Fatr, 48 Surah, ayat 18 to 19, where it is mentioned that they are mentioned, their description is given in the Torah and the Injil. And at the end of the ayah, an indication, in order to enrage the disbelievers, that the disbelievers become enraged at that. And the companions. Sheikh Fawzan said, So this is no doubt an indication that those who have hatred and rancor and ill feeling towards the companions, they can't withhold themselves. And that's a sign of kufr and nifaq. That's what they want to call it, and how they want to declare themselves as being champions of Islam. This hatred that they have for the companions is a sign of disbelief and a sign of hypocrisy. I must say this wrongly. Then, with regard to the continuation, what occurs on page 217, point number 26, the saying of the Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, وَالسَّمْءُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِلْأَئِمَّةِ فِي مَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ وَمَنْ وَلِيَ الْخِلَافَةَ بِإِجْمَاعِ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ وَرِضَاهُمْ بِهِ فَهُوَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا يَحِلُّ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَبِيتَ لَيْلَةً وَلَا يَرَى أَنَّ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ إِمَامٌ بَرًّا كَانَ أَوْ فَاجِرًا. He's saying, rahimahullah, and hearing and obeying the rulers in that which Allah loves and is pleased with. So whoever becomes the Khalifa through the consensus of the people for him, and they're being pleased with him, then he is the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the chief of the believers. It is not permissible for anyone to spend a night thinking that he has no ruler over him, whether he, meaning the ruler, be righteous or sinful. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, said in explanation, from the usul, from the fundamental principles of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that are made clear in the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is as-sam'u wa ta'ah li wulati umur al-muslimin, is hearing and obeying those in authority of the affairs of the Muslims. And then Shaykh Fawzan goes on to mention evidences from the Book and the Sunnah for this. He said, He the Most High said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Surah Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 59, with the explanation, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority amongst you. Shaykh Fawzan said, commenting, مِنْكُمْ, from amongst you, meaning from the Muslims. And he said, mentioning an evidence from the Hadith, he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Usikum bi taqwa Allah wa sam'i wa ta'a, wa in ta'ammara alaykum 'abd." That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I counsel you with taqwa, with dutifulness to Allah, and with hearing and obeying, even if a slave takes charge of you." In the footnote they mentioned, this is a part of the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu, and this checking has already proceeded. And this hadith is a hadith reported by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others, and declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh al-Albani, the famous hadith, part of the long hadith. He said, Shaykh Fawzan said, and in a narration, وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ Abdun Habashi. And in one narration there's the wording, even if an Abyssinian slave takes charge of you. In the footnote they say, reported by Al-Bukhari, and the reference in Al-Bukhari is hadith number 693. As we said, all the reference numbers referred to here in the footnotes to Al-Bukhari, all the numbers are wrong. The actual reference is hadith number 693 from Anas radiallahu anhu, and reported by Muslim in his Sahih, hadith 1837, from a hadith of Umm al-Husayn radiallahu anhu. It says Umm Mihsan here, and it should say Umm al-Husayn radiallahu anhu. Then they continue, and in some of the wordings of the hadith, or one of the wordings of the hadith reported by Muslim, وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا Mujadda al-Atraf, even if it be an Abyssinian slave with his limbs cut off. Sh. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, back to the main text, Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, the explanation of Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he said, mentioned that narration himself, he said, and in a narration, Abdun Mujadda'ul Atraf, even if it be a slave whose limbs are cut off. In the footnote they mentioned, reported by Muslim, as hadith 1837, again from a hadith of Umm al-Husayn, radiallahu anha. And also reported by Muslim as hadith 648 from Abu Dharr, radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, explaining this wording of the hadith, even if it be an abd who is mujadda al-atraf, he said, meaning with his feet and his hands cut off, as long as he is wali al-amr, the one in authority, it is obligatory to obey him upon good. So this is from the usul, from the fundamentals of aqidah. And the one who revolts against the Muslim rulers, he is from the dalin, he's from those people who are astray. Either he will be a khariji, one of the khawarij, or he will be a mu'tazili, one of the mu'tazila, or a person of some false sectarian way, some false and futile sectarian way, contrary to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's saying وَالسَّمْءُ وَالطَّاعَةُ لِلْأَئِمَّةِ فِيمَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ, and hearing and obeying the rulers with regard to that which Allah loves and is pleased with. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, with this qaid, with this restriction, the obedience to the rulers is with this restriction here, with regard to that which Allah loves and is pleased with. But as for ma'asiyah, as for sin, then they are not obeyed in that. Rulers, they are not obeyed in that which is ma'asiyah, sinful, disobedience to Allah. They are not obeyed in that. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. There is to be no obedience to the creation in disobedience to the Creator. In the footnote they mention this hadith reported by Imam Ahmad in the Musnad, and Al-Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, and Al-Qudai in the Musnad al-Shihad, and others. And the wording here is that of Al-Tabarani and of Al-Qudai, and the wording of Ahmad is لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. There is to be no obedience to a created being in disobedience to Allah. And this is from a hadith of Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu, and it was declared sahih, authentic, by Shaykh al-Albani in As-Sahiha, number 179. Then they mention the footnote and its origin, the basis for this hadith, or the basis of this occurs in the two sahihs as a hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, and it will follow in the next section, next part, in the next sentence indeed. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, and he, alayhi salatu wassalam, said, إِنَّمَا الطَّاعَةُ فِي الْمَعْرُوفِ. Obedience is only in what is good. In the footnote they mention, reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and the reference should be Hadith 7145. And Muslim in his Sahih, Hadith 1840. As a hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, what was just indicated. And the wording of Muslim is لا طاعة في معصية الله إنما طاعة في المعروف. There is no obedience in disobedience to Allah. Obedience is only in what is good. Sheikh Fawzan said, and this does not mean that if the one in authority orders a sin to be committed, that he is to be stripped of his rulership. Doesn't mean that. Rather, just that he is not obeyed upon this sin. He's not to be obeyed upon this sin. But he is still to be obeyed in whatever is not a sin, and his rulership remains, and he is obeyed in that which is not a sin. He's saying, وَمَنْ وَلِيَ الْخِلَافَةَ بِإِجْمَاعِ النَّاسِ عَلَيْهِ وَرِضَاهُمْ بِهِ فَهُوَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And whoever becomes the Khalifa by consensus of the people upon him, and they're being pleased with him, then he is Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is the chief of the believers. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, this is an explanation of how rulership comes about. Because imama, rulership, it comes about in one of a number of ways. And then Sheikh Fawzan goes on to mention the three ways in which rulership is attained for the Muslim ruler. He mentions three. So he begins with the first. He said the first matter is that which the author mentioned, and it is the one whom the Muslims choose. And what is meant by those who choose the ruler is Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. Those who choose the ruler are the people of authority and influence. With regard to the scholars, the ulama, and the umara, the governors, and the ashab al-siyasa, people of political affairs, people in charge of political affairs of the state, for umara al-ajnad, and the chiefs of the armies, the army chiefs. And it does not mean that choosing the ruler is for everyone, every single person to do, with regard to the children and the women and the town dwellers and the Bedouins. That's not the case. When we say consensus of the people, of authority and influence, it doesn't mean every single person in the land has a choice in who the leader is going to be. He said, because the people follow Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. The rest of the people follow on from the people of authority and influence. So if the people of authority and influence choose a ruler, it becomes obligatory upon the rest of them, upon the rest of the people, to obey him. And this is just as occurred with the Khilafah of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Because the companions, after the passing away of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were agreed upon giving the pledge, the bay'ah, to As-Siddiq, to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the rest of the nation, they followed on from those who chose As-Siddiq. And the affair was not opened up to everyone to have a share in choosing. Because this is from the role specific to the people of authority and influence. So the Muslims chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was the best of them. And this choice they made has evidences in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Sheikh Fawzan quotes two evidences for this. I mean, that's the choice that those in authority chose from the companions. They chose Abu Bakr, and no doubt he was the best of them. And then Sheikh Fawzan said, and that choice of theirs, there's evidences to show that it was what was indeed correct. Not that there's any doubt about that, as much as the companions had consensus upon, but he just brings two points to show that was the correct choice. He said, firstly, that Abu Bakr was the most excellent one of the companions, unrestrictedly. No one disagreed about this. And secondly, that the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gave indications, he gave isharat, indications that he would succeed him. That he gave indications that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was going to succeed him. Indication, not direct, but indications. So he said, from them is that when he fell sick with his final illness, he put him forward, he put Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu forward for the prayer to lead the Muslims. in the place of prayer of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith, as I mentioned in the footnote, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, and he stood in the standing place of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an indication that he would be the Imam in the Khilafah also, just as he was their Imam in the prayer. So therefore they chose Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the people understood this indication. The Shaykh said, and they said, when they chose Abu Bakr, they actually said, should it be the case that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with you for our religion, and that we are not pleased with you for our worldly life? And that's what they said with regard to Abu Bakr. That's what they said when they chose him to be in charge of them. They said, I mean, referring back to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put them in charge of the prayer. They said, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with you to take charge of us with regard to our religion, should we not be pleased with you to be in charge of our worldly affairs? Shaykh said, and the pledge to him, the bay'ah, was carried out, and the companions were agreed upon that. Those who were involved in directly choosing, and those who were not directly involved, then he is a follower. And the Muslims are a single united body and a single hand. And some of the companions, not all of them, some of them, they're the ones who are involved in directly choosing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the rest followed on and agreed with that. Then the second matter, which refers to what the Shaykh mentioned earlier, the three different ways in which the Muslim ruler comes into authority. The Shaykh mentioned the second way. He said, is that when Abu Bakr was at the point of death, he chose Umar ibn al-Khattab and specified him to take his place. So the Muslims heard him and obeyed him. And this is the second way from the ways of establishing rulership. And it is that the person in authority chooses the one who will take charge after him, after his death. Just as Abu Bakr did when he chose Umar radiallahu anhu. And the third matter, now the third way in which the Muslim rule comes about, its authority is established. The Shaykh said, if one of the Muslims overcomes and gains authority and causes the people to submit to his rulership, then he will be the chief, he will be their chief and ruler, as occurred regarding Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Because when there was this agreement after the death of Yazid ibn Muawiyah, then Abdul Malik ibn Marwan ibn al-Hakam took control of the affair. There's a side point, that was in the year 65. He took charge in the year 65. And his khilafah lasted until the year 87. 86-87. Anyway, Shaykh said, so Abdul Malik ibn Marwan ibn al-Hakam, he took control of the affair. And he was a man who was shahman, bold or astute, haziman, determined, qawiyan, strong. And Allah brought about benefit through him. And the pledge to him, the bay'ah, was established to him. And the Muslims heard him and obeyed. So in that lay good for the Muslims. So these are the ways in which rulership of the ruler can be established, either by the people of authority and influence choosing, or by the previous ruler specifying the one who will take charge after him, or by someone from the Muslims taking control, seizing control, such that he becomes their ruler, and the people submit to him, and obey and comply with him. Then, in that case, it is not permissible for anyone to split and break the unity. And however the rulership it comes about and is attained, either of these three, any of these three ways, that's it, then he is the ruler. It's not permissible to split and break unity to him. The Sheikh said, quoting the part of the text, and his saying bi ijma' al Muslimin, and his saying by consensus of the Muslims. If someone becomes the ruler by consensus of the Muslims, the Sheikh said, it should not be understood from this that it is essential for all of the Muslims to make the choice. However, that will be attained by the consensus of the people of authority and influence, as happened in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and as happened with regard to the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu anhu. For the ones who chose him were the Ahl al-Shura, were the people of the council. They're the ones who chose him. And they were the remainder of the 10 from his paradise. They chose him. So his rulership was established. And no one raised any objection to that. Rather, they all agreed in consensus to the rulership of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Then Sheikh Fawzan moves on to explanation of the last paragraph. He said, he's saying, لا يحل لأحد أن يبيت ليلة ولا يرى أن ليس عليه إمام برا كان أو فاجرا. It is not permissible for anyone to spend a night thinking that there is no ruler over him, whether he be a righteous person or a sinful person. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is a very important matter, and it is that it is not permissible for a person to rebel against the united body of the Muslims and to separate away from obedience. For if he does that, وَبَاتَ لَيْلَةً وَلَيْسَ لَهُ إِمَامٌ, and he does, as mentioned in the hadith, he spends a single night and he has no ruler. Sheikh Fawzan said, mean whose rulership he believes, mean not believing that he has rulership over him, then this person, قَدْ خَلَأَ رِبْقَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ عُنُقِهِ. This person spends a single night thinking that he has no ruler whose rulership is upon him, then he has thrown off the rope of Islam from his neck. In the footnote they mention, Muslim reports in his Sahih from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, this hadith, with the wording, وَمَنْ مَاتَ وَلَيْسَ فِي عُنُقِهِ بَيْعَةٌ مَاتَ مِيتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً. And whoever dies and he does not have pledge to the ruler upon his neck, he will die a death of the days of ignorance. The footnote continues, and in a narration from Ibn Umar, reported by Al-Hakim in his book Al-Mustadrak, upon the two Sahihs, مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْجَمَاعَةِ قِيدَ شِبْرٍ فَقَدْ خَلَأَ رِبْقَةَ الْإِسْلَامِ مِنْ عُنُقِهِ حَتَّى يُرَاجِئَهُ. قال وَمَنْ مَاتُ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ إِمَامٌ, فقال بل قال مَنْ مَاتُ وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ إِمَامُ جَمَاعَةٍ فَإِنَّ مَوْتَتَهُ مَوْتَةٌ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ. That the Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever departs from the united body of the Muslims, the Jama'ah, by a handspan, then he has thrown off the rope of Islam from his neck until he returns. And he said, and whoever dies and does not have a ruler of the Jama'ah upon him, a ruler of the united body of the Muslims over him, then his death will be a death of the days of ignorance. This hadith was mentioned by Shaykh al-Albani in As-Sahiha, affirming it under hadith number 984. And it was declared by Shaykh Muqbil rahimahullah, in his checking of Al-Mustadrak, that he said that this hadith is to the standard of Muslim. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan finished with the last paragraph saying, commenting upon this hadith, meaning, with regard to the hadith, that whoever spends a night and he regards himself as having no ruler over him, then he's thrown off the rope of Islam from his neck. The Shaykh said, meaning that he was along with the Muslims and connected to the Muslims, he was joined to the Muslims. But when he rebelled, he went out from obedience to the ruler, then he cut his link with the Muslims. Just like the small lambs, which used to have a long rope, which would have loops coming off it, and the heads of the lambs would be put in these loops to safeguard them from being lost. And they were called arubq, they were called nooses. So the Muslims being united upon a ruler is likened to that. It's been likened to these little sheep that they used to preserve by having little nooses put around the neck, all connected to a big rope to keep them safe. The Shaykh said, so the Muslims being united upon a ruler is likened to that. So whoever rebels, departs from obedience to the ruler, then he has thrown off this noose from his neck and exposed himself to becoming lost and to the wolves and to the winds. It does not mean that he becomes a disbeliever. Its meaning is that he has split away from the united body, the Jama'ah. And he has exited from obedience. So he has become like an animal that has left its connecting rope and has exposed itself to wild animals and to being snatched away or stolen. And it should not be said, a person should not say this, I haven't given any pledge of allegiance and I have no ruler. You know what some people say, they say, I didn't actually, some people in the land went and gave the pledge, but I stayed at home, I didn't give any pledge, I haven't got a ruler. Shaykh said, it should not be said, I didn't give the pledge of allegiance, the bay'ah, and I have no ruler. Shaykh answered saying, for you are just one of the Muslims. So when the people of influence and authority give the pledge, then you follow on from them. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك